And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is December 23rd, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is the Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to have our Wednesday Italian music, and we are going to address some of the European news and see what effect decision-making can have on the rest of the world. So let's start. Let's start with considering what's in play right now. We have the Middle East that is still in chaos. We have a refugee situation that is getting out of hand, especially when we have not a clear idea if the Turks are actually blocking them from coming to Europe as they supposed to, or they are not. Now, the Turks have a lot of refugees in their state. And it's like, and then every refugee camp, not much to do, not much work, and probably not much food. As we said last week, in the last session on Monday, I guess, we come to realize that there are people suffering, starving in the camp, and they are willing to go to get, you know, killed in Syria instead of being hungry in the other country, in Jordan. So after talking about it and thinking about it, I made some investigation of what's going on. And I realized that Jordan, in fact, sent some people to the area, to Israel, to have a kind of a mission for, you know, from all sort of commerce. And they're talking together about how they can improve the situation. But the idea is clear that is growing to be more present. We need to start doing something with those refugees. It means that if they don't work, they cannot have food on the table, and they take charity. All those organizations that they love to put those people in camp because they get control of billions of dollars. And we know what happened in Africa. We know what happened in the camp in Gaza. We know what happened. And Gaza, it's not, you know, because the Israeli control, it's because the UNRWA is in control there. So let's not be mistaken. The idea is how we bring along some fruitful ideas to the area. And in Sudan, there was a pilot study and implementation and success. And I'm going to tell you about it. There was a company that created a group of farmers. What they did, they took the people from Sudan, the part that they could, because they were fighting all the time. Africa is not an easy place to live, I guess. And, well, I assume I know. And what they did, they gave an acre, no, half an acre to every person, every household. And then they created some vegetables garden that in 6 months they could grow, they can eat, and a half of it was being sold, and it's divided between the country and between the owners. So not just the people that are sitting in a refugee camp can take a piece of land, make a garden, create their own vegetable, because whatever resources that they get now, it's not fresh vegetable. Nobody can tell me that they are sending fresh vegetables to those camps. Because they send, you know, whatever dry food you can. But instead, you give those people a work to do, something to get up to work to get busy. And you know how energy, when you're busy and you consume with doing, you make your life is, you know, you're a happy person. And you can create and cultivate a little garden. You feed yourself, you feed your family, and you have something even to sell. and then you grow. Now, once the country is settled and you can go back to your country, the country, the hosting country, did not waste the land of devastation, and you, she actually have a product that you left behind. So the idea is to give them the tool. Now, I spoke, I've been sitting, listen, since that news dawned to me that it's next door, and I have to say, guys, this is my Jewish heart, my Jewish faith, my tradition, my mother doing, my family doing, my father teaching is, there is no way that we're going to sit still, and the other side of the border, there are people who are hungry. You know, I can understand when it's fighting, I cannot help, because I cannot help. This is something that's behind me. But when they're hungry, maybe we can do something. So I was thinking, okay, let's have resources. Now, there was a summit yesterday in the Knesset. People are really taking notice of that. People are actually bringing along people to talk about the situation. Of course, it has all sort of camouflage, but the idea is people want to help. So if we get our heart together and we decide, the good side of people, and please, please don't tell me who you are. I don't care. I want to know that you're in the good side. You can be any country you want. Let's get ourselves together. Bring those ideas to the Jordanian, get them settled, get those gardens to be flourishing. So in 6 months, those refugees that are hungry, they're going to have food on the table, and they're going to sell, and they're going to have some money in their pocket. Guys, there is a solution. It's going to take 6 months, but we need to act up. So we started acting up. I've been communicating it to the people. I told anybody who can, I could think from yesterday to today, because I just found out how the solution can work. And then we can start working together. God willing, next week, we'll start meeting with some more people. And maybe we can go and start making a new day for those refugees everywhere. You can take this and implement this in Jordan, in Greece. In Greece, if you give them an island, they can produce and make it beautiful, and then they can leave back to Syria and everything will be okay. And wherever they are, you don't need to move them along. They're going to have food on the table. And what's the deal with going to Europe? They are not European. They are not custom. They're praying in the middle of the street, for God's sake. They are not from there. If they want the Western civilization, by all means, get your job, get your act together. We'll get you that too. Don't worry. Development will come with the money, as usual. So let's start taking care of business from development point of the glass, not just problem and from the medical part, that how we treat people, but we don't give them any tools to treat themselves. All right, let's get some music so we can start our, you know, winding it down to your holiday. It will be an awesome holiday, guys, so let's enjoy it. All right. That was Mike Brandt in France. Laisse-moi t'aimer. Let me love you. Now, by all means, he was gorgeous. He was fantastic. He sang like nobody else. You know, he was like Elvis Presley in those times. He was famous, but he died so young, so he stopped. But you guys know the secret. He was Israeli. This French guy singing, looking so European, he was Israeli. So God bless his soul, Mike Brandt, and I hope that people can still remember and recall how beautiful, beautiful we sang. Now, let's keep on talking about what's going on in Turkey. Now, the Turks promised to stop the refugee from flowing so they get money. It's not really happening. And, you know, in meanwhile, they've been blowing some Kurds apart, because the Kurds are really some force that they want to reckon with. Now, let's talk about what Turkey situation is. Turkey messed with Syria, right? With Russia. Yeah, they blew up a plane. Right. Now, the Iranian are gaining force in Iraq. And you won't believe what I heard today. I heard that the Iranian are talking that Baghdad is Iran. They are talking about returning to Baghdad like it was their capital. It's like, what is going on? Now, if Iranians are going to Baghdad, to Iraq, and the Turks put boots on the ground in Iraq because they don't want Iranian in their borders, so they're trying to push the Iranian from getting into Iraq, we got them back. And the Russian told the Turks, get out of Iraq. Nothing happened. The American president says to the Turks, get out of Iraq. Sure, we are going out. Nothing happened. Now, the European actually calling NATO to intervene. I think we have something on this. Let's hear what we have in the news, and I hope we match this one to my rhetoric. If not, we'll fix it. Don't worry. Okay? Guys, Turkey is playing with fire. Let's roll.
Smugglers are cashing in on the refugee and migrant crisis, as the numbers arriving by land and sea to Europe this year passes 1 million. Behind these deadly journeys is a sophisticated network of people traffickers.
They only care about the money. They don't, in the end of the day, they don't care about us, whether we made it or not.
Hassan arrived in the UK from Syria this year. Preferring to remain anonymous, he's in the process of applying for asylum.
They are not trustworthy, but sadly, they're the only people whom you can, who are there to help you cross. And I know that money went to the wrong pockets, and that's something which really annoys me. I don't want my money to go to those people, to human traffickers and mafia and smugglers.
According to the UN, half of those arriving were Syrians fleeing the war. Afghans and Iraqis were the second largest groups. A further 3,000...
And that was about the refugees and how the traffickers are, they're trafficking with people. When you pay for a trafficker to pass you through the border, what do you think will happen? Of course you're going to pay them. Of course they take advantage of life. That's what they do. They're human trafficker guys. So, those are goons. But let's go back to the issue that we're talking, Iraq versus Turkey.
A row between Iraq and Turkey over Ankara's deployment of troops in northern Iraq has seen Baghdad take its case to a higher level. The Iraqi prime minister has called on NATO to use its authority and urged Turkey to immediately withdraw its forces, but Ankara insists the deployment of its soldiers was part of a training mission coordinated with Baghdad. Here's how the row has been escalating. The UN Security Council has discussed the eviction of Turkey's troops. Iraq's representative said bilateral talks with Ankara have been going well. And Russia's ambassador to the UN expressed his hope that the territorial integrity of Iraq will be respected.
Turkey has acted recklessly and inexplicably. Some colleagues said no, no statements because it will sort of exacerbate matters. I think it's inconsistent and sort of lack of principle, which we see quite often in the sort of actions, behavior of some of our Western colleagues. But now the situation is within the focus of the attention of the Security Council, so we hope it will help resolve the situation to the satisfaction of the Iraqi government, whose sovereignty, territorial integrity, and independence we all respect.
A member of the Iraqi State of Law Coalition told us lawmakers have already prepared economic sanctions to punish Turkey and dismissed Ankara's claims that the deployment of its troops was coordinated.
Baghdad Council, we today issued a legislation to ban the Baghdad Council and the local government to have any deals with Turkish companies and to ask all Turkish companies to leave the capital, Baghdad. This is a first step. The Iraqi government will start a series of steps, economic steps, and we will hopefully very soon raise this matter into the Security Council. So since Iraq is a sovereign country, it's their duty to leave. Whatever excuse they are providing, as the ex-Prime Minister, Mr. Maliki, told me the other day, that I challenged them to show me one document saying that we asked them to come and help.
All right, I guess we are back. Now, do you realize what's going on? The Turks don't want to get the Iranian in the borders. The Iranian are pushing through to Iraq. Of course, it's no man's zone. Even Maliki is there. Then you got the Russian are, pushing in Syria, and the fact that Turks are finding themselves expanding their territories without consideration to repercussion of their actions, and they're bombing the Kurds. There are 30 million Kurds there. But the question is, how long it's going to take between the boots on the ground of the armed forces of the USA will be back in Iraq? Because right now, the only thing that is going to settle the situation is that. And I know that we lost some guys in Afghanistan, and God bless their soul, those warriors, heroes that give their life for the safety of the world. I salute them. I salute and I honor their sacrifice. May God bring mercy to them and to the family this holiday season. It's really devastating. They lost the best that they can offer, and they gave us the best. And those people, whoever they are, from every country that come and fight for the good of the good in life of everybody else, we honor you, and we hope that you go back home safely and have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. All right? That's it, before I start crying on you here. But I'm telling you, it's not easy. Soldiers are our treasure. They are, I see a soldier, and I just want to say, oh, we love you. We are so proud of you. Okay? So wherever you are, just know you're not alone. And all the retirees and all those goody men that, you know, went there and seen them and helping the vets, they are honorable. So the vets of the world are, you know, they've been through so much. Last century was crazy. And they're starting this century too. And I want to tell you guys that it's about time we go back to business, because I think that we can create some new businesses in around the world, and it's not going to be boring. We can have fun, all right? So just get off your machine guns and let's start doing some work on how to connect the world of economy, all right? Because the perspectives are great. And just imagine if Donald Trump is going to be elected, it's going to be party. Everybody's going to go back to business. Finally, listen, it's about time. I don't know about Ted Cruz. He's wonderful. He's really, really credible, but he doesn't have the vote. And that's the different mix. It doesn't matter how hot you are. It's how people like you. Let's listen to some more news that I prepared for you.
Vivo per lei da quando sai, la prima volta l'ho incontrata, non mi ricordo come mai, mi è entrata dentro e c'è restata. Vivo per lei perché mi fa vibrare forte l'anima. Vivo per lei.
All right, we are back. That was Bocelli with Vivo per lei. I live for her. Guys, you know, there are romantic people someplace in the world. I'm still looking for them, guys. I miss Italy so bad. Okay. Now, before we keep on going, because we have three segments that I need you to listen to, have a next show probably Monday, God willing. We're going to have David Bedin on Inside the War in Jerusalem, and he's going to be talking to us about UNRWA policy firm that they made in the parliament today in the Israeli Knesset. It's in control, I guess, of the Center of New East Policy Research. And it's amazing. It's amazing what this man did all those years. He collects information, work. He's a newsman. He's respected. I honor this guy. And his duty is to watch over everybody else, and he does a great job. So Monday, God willing, we'll have him on the show. Now, let's go to the next segment. I got, the news today from Turkey. You know, Turkey is getting too hot. Let's listen to that.
An explosion at Istanbul's second largest airport on December 23rd killed one cleaning woman on an airplane and injured another. Budget carrier Pegasus confirmed the blast at Sabiha Gökçen Airport on the Asian side of the city early in the morning when no passengers were in the area. Airport operations continued normally. Police armed with rifles and protective vests imposed tight security at entrances to the airport after the blast, searching vehicles in the area while a police helicopter circled overhead.
All right, so you heard that. There was an explosion in the airport in Istanbul, and one clean lady got killed, but sorry for that, but all the passengers got saved because it exploded while there weren't any passengers. So it means that there is some crisscross of some terrorists running around there, so you guys better watch out, you know, be in Turkey if you must. If you don't, just go home, all right, guys? Because I'm not predicting it's going to be a happy place for the next, I don't know, how long. All right, now let's go to another attack in Jerusalem. Now, this is your story about, this is a high holiday for the Christian. It's a respected holiday by all the world, except by those goons that decide to terrorize people when they come to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem, to make their pilgrimage on the Holy Land. Yeah, on the Holy Land, holidays, I guess. My goodness gracious, so let's listen to that.
A short while ago, Israeli police units responded near the Jaffa Gate area to the terrorist attack, which was carried out by two Palestinians. Both of them were armed with knives and stabbed at least two Israelis at the scene. Two people were injured seriously. One person was injured lightly to moderately, taken to hospital. All the hospitals in Jerusalem were opened up. What we confirmed until now is one terrorist was shot and killed. The second terrorist was shot.
All right, there was an attack in Jerusalem. God willing, they stopped. They just, they have to realize this is a high holiday for the Christian. They need to have their space and time. It's enough. It's enough. Just let them pray, for God's sake. Anyway, let's go to something really, really interesting that was going on in the political race of the, you know, the running for the presidency from the GOP candidate. Let's listen to that.
But I tell you something, of all the racists, I think, in the Republican Party, you know who the worst one is? Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Yes, and I'll tell you why. Donald Trump sued me last year for $5 million. Do you know that? Yes. Here's how this came about. Donald Trump thinks we have a feud. Because he won't do my show. As if I could give a fuck if that moron did my show. We have a feud because he became a presidential candidate. Now you're on my turf. And not just a presidential candidate, a one-issue candidate. All about how Obama was illegitimate as a president. Remember he was sending his investigators to Hawaii? Who were finding amazing things. Yeah, like the price of the Mai Tais in the hotel bar. And what an idiot our boss is to send us here on an expense account. Amazing things. Yeah, we're still waiting for those results. Anyway, so after Obama releases his long-form birth certificate, Trump goes to, well, now I want to see his college records. You know, because a black guy getting into college, something fishy about that, all right? So he offers the president of the United States, real class, $5 million to release his college records, so I offered Donald Trump, yes, on the air, $5 million, if he could prove that he was not the love child of his mother and an orange-haired orangutan. Wait. Not for no reason, because we showed with pictures that there are only two things in nature that have that exact same color hair, Donald Trump and an orange-haired orangutan. And this dummy releases his birth certificate and sues me and goes to the press and turns what was a one-night, one-joke gag into a three-month national debate over whether his mother fucked an ape. He is not a bright man, so... I am not going to say another word about Donald Trump. All right, I'm going to say one more thing about Donald Trump. No, one more thing, but it's not even really about him. I'm just using him to ask a moral question. Are you ready for a moral question? Yeah. You sound like a great crowd. Are you ready for a moral question? Yeah. Great, here it is. It's 1956. You're in the locker room at Penn State. You see a 10-year-old Donald Trump walking into the showers with Jerry Sandusky. Do you save Jerry? A moral question, ladies and gentlemen. Now, look, I tell you something. I understand why Donald Trump votes Republican. I understand why anyone in the top 1% of wage earners votes Republican. They represent you perfectly. Anybody else who votes Republican are just one of corporate America's useful idiots. That's true. Okay. Sorry, one more thing. Now that Rachel Dolezal claims there is no biological proof that she is the daughter of her white parents, Donald Trump must insist that she produce her birth certificate. And Don, speaking of producing your birth certificate, I know things got kind of crazy when you filed that lawsuit against me, but we never really did clear up that issue of who your biological parents are.
Hey, by the way, I see you going ahead with this lawsuit against
me. Oh, well, let me explain.
No.
You know, that's another one. This guy gets on, and I don't know what it is. He spoke so horribly. You know, I had a father who actually was a very handsome, dashing guy.
I remember your dad.
Oh, yeah. He was a best-looking guy. And he was a builder in Brooklyn.
Right.
And he was a good guy, you know, smart guy and a good guy. And I learned a lot from my father. And believe me, he was so proud and all that stuff, you know, because he never believed, never wanted to come into Manhattan because he said, oh, that's not my territory. But he was just a good professional and a great guy and a handsome guy and a beautiful mother. But my mother was 5'11". And Robin, that was a long time ago. You didn't have people 5'11".
Right.
You know, my mother was a beauty. So anyway, I don't know how I turned out, but, you know, not so bad. Some people would say, not bad. Anyway, the ones that liked me. This guy comes out, and he went viciously out of nowhere. Jay Leno says, what about Trump? I said, what's he asking about me for? What do I have to do with this guy? I know nothing about him, Bill
Maher.
Except that he has asked me to be on his show for 2 years.
Right.
Please go on my show, or however long. Please go on my show. And by the way, I would have done it. I have nothing against him or his show or anything else. I mean, I don't agree with his point of view, but I have not. I would have done. But it's hard in terms of doing it, Howard. You know, finding the time and everything else. And I've been with you a long time. If you and I have been friends a long time. If you would have asked me to go to your studio and all, I would have done that too. Okay. So what happened, it's just too tough. So
right.
I didn't do a show. So all of a sudden he gets upset that I won't do a show.
Right.
And he starts hitting me with stuff, and I didn't care. But then he's on Jay Leno, and he made this offer, a stupid offer about, you know, this and that. And he said, I will give Donald Trump $5 million if he can prove this and that. So I said, wow. And he didn't say, I'm joking, I'm this, I'm that.
Right.
He said, and the money can go to charity. So I'll give him $5 million, and the money will go to charity. He didn't say, I'm only kidding, Jay.
Right, he said that your parents were part orangutan or something.
They're orangutan, and, right. You know, this and that, okay? And he said, I will give him $5 million. So I immediately, the following day, unlike Obama, by the way, you know, I had my birth certificate right at hand. I was able to get it within 9.2 seconds.
Right.
So I sent him the birth certificate or whatever, documentation. And we said, as per your offer, we hereby accept, and here's the documentation. And please send my charities. I listed 5 charities, good ones, Federation of Jewish Philanthropies and different ones, okay? Dana-Farber Cancer, you know, et cetera, right? Sandy victims. So I said, please send the check, and I will send them out, distribute it to five. And he didn't answer.
So you're suing
him. And press asks him about it, didn't answer. So I felt I had an obligation. I don't know if I'm going to win or lose it. You know, I mean, you know, strange
thing. I don't know either. I mean, technically, he did say
it was unconditional. He didn't say, like, hey, I was only, even after the case, like, after he said it, he didn't say, Jay, I was only joking when I just said that. He said, I will give Donald Trump $5 million to his charity, a charity of his choice.
You might win.
Well, I think so. And then, okay, so here's what happens. You know the Cooley Law Firm. That's one of the biggest firms in California. It's a very highly respected. So I went to one of the guys here. I said, what do you guys think of this case? They said, I think you have a good case. By the way, you know, a lot of these firms, they can't take a case unless they, you know, they're not going to file a case where they're going to have problems, all right?
Right.
Right.
So I said, what do you think? And they don't need the $2 that it's going to cost because it's a simple case. It's not like, you know, we're sending rockets to the moon, right?
But in a way, I mean, your point is, hey, Bill Maher embarrassed you on TV, and so you're going to teach him a lesson.
It was worse than that. He talked badly about my father.
Right.
My
mother. Right. He hurt you.
Well, and he talked badly about my mother and my father.
Right.
And they were amazing people. You know, they were, hey, Howard.
I understand.
Like you and I.
Yeah.
They were married 63 years.
Right.
They had an amazing love affair. You know, we don't see.
In other words, when a guy screws around about you, okay, maybe I'll be a good sport. But when he screws around about your parents and calls them orangutans, you're gonna go on the warpath.
So terrible, and the venom with which he said it. Somebody said comedy. I said that wasn't comedy because I maybe you didn't see it. I was actually watching, and I said, wow, that's venom.
If Bill Maher, listen.
He was so nervous when he was saying it.
Right.
It was almost like it was rehearsed because he was so nervous when he was saying it. And there was such hatred. And I said, why would he hate me that much? And, you know, obviously the hatred is of me because he didn't know my parents. And, you know, my father would have blown him away. My father would have looked at him, blown away. You know, the best guy, by the way, tough as hell, but really handsome.
But if Bill Maher called you today, I'm giving you a theoretical.
Right.
And he realizes.
All right. So the issue is, why I let you listen to it? Bill Maher, with his big mouth, is bad-mouthing a candidate to the U.S. President, which is obviously very, very bad for politics, because whoever knows that you don't mess on this level of, you know, of politics, you have to be very careful. Now, let's assume that he said something and about giving charity $5 million if that the guy produced the birth certificate. Let's not talk about the context of the birth certificate. It doesn't matter. It's not relevant. The question is, is he obligated to give the money? Now, let's say he promised those money to a charity group. Charity is mean that you make a pledge. Usually when you make a pledge, you make it vocally, you announce it, and they make a pledge. Now, I don't know if people in the world of the legal system can obligate somebody to be respectful to his pledge, because a pledge means that I'll give if I do that. That's a pledge of charity. But the problem is, when you pledge to charity, you're pledging with the Holy Mighty God. You don't pledge it to a person. That Donald Trump is only an accessory for charity at this point. You are supposed to give the money to charity. That's your claim. It has nothing to do with the fact that Donald is going to get somebody else. It's the fact that you promised before God. Now, let me tell you, from my experience, my know-how in the world of spiritual force, there is a quote in the prayer book that say, when you make a pledge, you be fast to pay it. And you don't want those $5 million anyway, because they will be taken from you in either way, if not. Because you pledged them. You donated before God. So now, Bill Maher, the stupid, the one that did not close their mouth, was Bill Maher. You are the one who did wrong. Forget Donald Trump. He was only the thing that made you pledge. You're going to get his grace before God. You have to pay for it. So I don't know if court will make you pay $5 million, but trust me, you pledge it, it's yours. And we say, you know, we make pledges that we can afford or we cannot afford. So on Yom Kippur, in the Day of Atonement, we ask for pardon. So there is always a pardon before God. It's not like forever. But if you can, just pay it back. All right, let's see if our great dog, Nussum, that is the man behind this show, constantly working, listening, helping, this guy that deserves a great holiday from all of us and a blessing of a happy new year, if he can find me a new Italian song at this point. All right, we're back. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth on BBS Radio Studio 1, and it's September 23rd. Now, you guys, what are you doing for the last day before the holidays? You must be having fun. This is the 23rd. It's today. Just remember, enjoy yourself. Just whatever it is, it's you, it's them, it's the family, it's love. And I was talking about it before with Doug. In Italy, this is a Wednesday Italian show, remember? So I'm telling you Italian stories. In Italy, it's the most incredible thing that happens during the holiday, except eating all day long. It's playing cards. Playing cards, all the family. And there is those big tables where they play briscola. It's, you know, they have special cards. than our regular, you know, routine cards that we have. They have cards of other type. Amazing. So they have Bliskoline, and they play again and again all day long. You can come in the morning, see them near the table, and go afternoon, dinner, after lunch, and they're still on the same table. So it's fun. I remember those days, and it was great memories. Anyway, let's listen to some more news.
So they had 11 Pauls, and they had Drudge, who's a great guy, 46%. Now that's 46% of the vote out of 15 people. That's a lot. I would honestly take right now 46% of three people. But this is 15 people. By the way, sadly, I guess you heard, Lindsey Graham left the race today. Sad. Very sad. Extremely sad. He was nasty to me, wasn't he? Nasty. Ooh. You see how many, everybody that goes against me, it's like X. So we started off with 17. I won't say how many left, but a lot of people are starting to leave. They're going to start to leave. But everybody that's going, wouldn't it be nice? That should happen with our country. Everybody goes against us, down the tubes. Sort of interesting, right? Sort of interesting. So I'll go through it fast. So this is on the debate. It's the night of the debate. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people voted. Who was number one in the debate? I was. I love you too. So who was number one? Trump. Drudge, 46%. Time Magazine. Hey, they didn't even give me the man of the year or the person of the year. They should have. That's why it's heading down the tubes, folks. They gave it to a woman who's not done the right thing in Germany. It's not doing too well over there. Nice woman. I like her. I like her. I better like her. I may have to deal with her. Look, hey, Putin likes me. I want her to like me too. Right? You know, it's sort of funny. So Putin, out of nowhere, I never met Putin, but we were on 60 Minutes together. Not together, but together. Meaning I had a segment, he had a segment. We got tremendous ratings on that show. I took full credit. I said, if it wasn't for me, they wouldn't. But we didn't meet. But we were stable mates in a sense, right? It was he and I on 60 Minutes like 5-6 weeks ago. And it was great. And he came out of nowhere 2 days ago and he said, Trump is brilliant. He's great. He's the leader. He's the leader of the parties. And he said nice things. I didn't know. I never met him, so I didn't know. And he said nice things. All of a sudden, I'm hearing things like, oh, isn't it terrible that Putin is saying that? That's not terrible. That's good. That's like a good thing, not a bad thing. He can't stand Obama. Obama can't stand him. They're always fighting. Wouldn't it be nice if we could get along, like, with people? You know? It's unbelievable. No, think of it. You know, it's Russia, after all. Somebody said, are you at all offended that he said nice things about you? I said, no. No, and they said, oh, Trump should have been much nastier. That's terrible. And then they said, you know, he's killed reporters. And I don't like that. I'm totally against that. By the way, I hate some of these people, but I'd never kill them. I hate them. No, these people, honestly, I'll be honest. I would never kill them. I would never do that. Let's see. No, I wouldn't. I would never kill them, but I do hate them, and some of them are such lying, disgusting people. It's true. But I would never kill them, and anybody that does, I think would be despicable. But, you know, nobody said, they say he killed reporters. I said, really? He says he didn't. Other people say he didn't. Who did he kill? Well, we don't know, but we hear that. I said, tell me, who did he kill?
All right, we are back. Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. That was Donald Trump with his really big mouth. Why did he talk so bad? You run for president, for God's sake. Just clean your act. And bad mouthing other won't bring down the presidential nomination. Just remember that. Now, we are running, you know, to the end of the race of the Republican primaries, and I know that the Jeb Bush camp is going to invest ton of money in advertising and to show what Jeb Bush is all about. So I'm predicting that there's going to be a shift in the ideas, because finally they can hear what the people say. To listen to this bad-mouthing, listen, I like the guy, I like businesses, yes, I know he has a good heart, I know he's good-looking, whatever he wants, his family beautiful, his daughter is exceptional, but talking bad won't help. I need some substance, sir, I need some substance, okay? Now, we're running out of time, and while we are listening to him, I've been scrolling through some information, and I came up with some just annoying information about all this kind of organization that works to help the world, but at the end, they're helping also to help those that wreck in the world. So I think that I'm not going to get into it because it's too long. It's 2 minutes to go, and I love you. I miss you. I hope you have a wonderful holiday. Go get them, have fun. Go have a blast. The time of your life, it's here. It's a new era. It's a new day. God bless you. We'll be back on Monday, God willing, 8 p.m. Jerusalem time, the capital of Israel. Until then, God bless you all. Ciao, ciao. Happy holidays.